Thank you, Sean. Sean said, don't worry about the time. I'm sitting back there thinking, thank you. I only have this much time left. No, really. I'm blessed to be here today. I'm blessed that my heart is pounding out of my chest. I'm blessed that I have brothers and sisters that'll pray for me when they know that I get nervous before I stand up here. Oh. So I have all my scriptures and everything on paper here today, so I only if prompted to will I move to my books. So I promise I won't go too fast. I have made a little note to make sure that I think for legal purposes through the AVAA, I have to make little notes here. So I've taken some things from the internet, and we know the internet is so absolute and positively true, right? Come on, I need more laughs than that. I just want you to understand that some of these statements, some of these things that I pull, I may not have an author to. That's what I'm letting you know. But I have comments to them. So my question to you is, what is courage? I took a statement off the internet, and I hope that you have an open mind and you're listening with a heart to serve the Lord. So this statement starts, courage comes in many shapes, sizes, and forms. I accept that statement, don't you? It says, while racing into a burning building to save lives and helping out a person who is being robbed are certainly courageous and admirable acts, even smaller occurrences can count as acts of courage. Wow, a worldly view that I could accept. I could agree with that. It gives some examples. It says, for example, confronting a bully or asking out a secret crush. Now, a lot of the things that I believe I preach on are small, minuscule things. I'm not a deep spiritual thinker. Kind of on the surface with a lot of things. So sometimes the topics I come up with are really meant for those who are new to the gospel or young people. But I truly believe that each and every person here can take a little something from it. Both of these things require certain levels of bravery. Therefore, acts full of courage can happen on the grand scale, but also on the smaller day-to-day life level. I read that and I thought, you know, one of the most grandest acts of courage is when a new mom drops off her first child at kindergarten, their first day. It's very courageous of that little one to start a new school, start something new and fresh, right? But it was a tremendous act of courage for that mom to turn around and go home and leave her child there at school in somebody else's hands. Merriam-Webster's Dictionary Online defines courage as mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, withstand danger, fear, or difficulty, a mental or physical type of courage. The root word courage also carries with it another word that we see often in society. It's the act of being the act of courage, being courageous. That is, according to Webster's dictionary, that is having or characterized by courage, brave. Example, a courageous soldier or a courageous decision. It's the act of being bold. Also, I got from the internet, which I shortened quite a bit. I did a search and asked for examples of acts of courage. It listed a whole lot of things. I shortened it. I did, because there was a lot of repetition. The first one says Harriet Tubman. These are grand acts of courage. This is the way the world sees grand acts of courage, okay? And I'm not disagreeing. I'm not saying it's not true. So Harriet Tubman, leading slaves to freedom on the Underground Railroad. Absolutely. Here's a woman that was persecuted for the color of her skin, and she took charge. She did something about those acts against her people, against a group of people that, by no choice of their own, were in a situation, an ungodly situation. Martin Luther King, for standing up for equal rights. Again, someone who stood up for something they believed in. They did what they thought was right. I agree with the statement. All men are created equal. Oh, that's God's statement. Anne Frank and her family living in secret and quiet to hide from the Nazis. Had to think about that one for a minute. They were hiding. They weren't standing up for anything. But think about it. It took a lot of courage to stay together as a family and not be scared and run or be divided, or it took a lot of courage to keep their head together, to stay together as a family, as a unit, to stay where they believed they belonged and had the right to belong. Grand acts of courage every day. The police, the firefighters, our EMTs. They have a good day when they don't have to go out. But those are some courageous people, and they are commended for doing those acts of running into fires when we're running away. The list has the police, firefighters, and citizens who rushed into buildings to save lives on September 11th. The people aboard Flight 93 who prevented the terrorists from attacking the United States Capitol. Absolutely. But think about those situations. Think about that. Unfortunately, it took a tragedy. Something that none of us could even imagine happening. And this nation became very courageous at that time, too. Remember how courageous we became, how we stood up and we shook our fists. We said, "You're not going to do this to us." We became very courageous. Absolutely commendable. But it took that great tragedy to get America to stand up and be courageous. Going to dinner with Libby the other night, when I was thinking about this, and I said, taking her to dinner, and I said, so, if I ask you to give me one example of a courageous act, what would it be? I'm thinking I'm going to get the story from school or something, you know, right? She kind of blew my mind. She said, well, Dad, there was these women in, I think she said, 1913. And they believed that they had the right to vote. And they stood up for that. The women's suffrage movement. I was like... And then she proceeded to tell me all about it. I thought, this girl's smarter than her dad. She's right. They stood up for something, and it was this grand act. It was something tremendous that had to happen for the entire nation. We wish it would happen for the entire world, but unfortunately, we can't control that. Of course, our military personnel and their families that volunteer to put themselves in harm's way in foreign lands so that we can continue to be free. I couldn't argue with this list of grand acts of courage. Many times I find myself watching a news story and wonder, would I have done that? Put myself in harm's way for someone, a stranger. I want to think that I would for a loved one, but would I have the courage to stand up for a stranger? Or, when choosing seats on an upcoming flight, I find my thoughts drifting to what if, remembering flight 93 on 9/11. I have picked seats on a flight because I've had that thought in the back of my head. I pick aisle seats, not because there's more legroom, not because they're more comfortable, because believe me, when people are loading on a plane and you're sitting in an aisle seat, you get hit in the head so many times with bags going by. You get bumped by people trying to get through the aisles with all the luggage that they should have checked, you know. So then they listed after that, after the grand acts of courage. Courage on a daily basis. It takes courage just to get up in the morning, doesn't it? Especially thinking about what you're going to face that day or where you have to face it. But they list a few things here. Trying a food that you've never tried before. My daughter likes sushi now, once I got her to try it. Engaging in a new experience. Asking someone out on a date. Standing up for a person who is being picked on. Asking for a promotion or a raise at work. How about standing up for yourself? How often do you feel that it's your Christian duty to just set it aside? Somebody says something that's offensive to you, or to you, or at you, and you just feel it's your Christian duty to just let it go. How about standing up for yourself? How about that moment when you say, you know, I don't feel that's appropriate? Open that door for that conversation to why you don't feel it's appropriate, what your belief is. You can do that without stepping on someone else's beliefs. You can do that without hopefully discouraging them from ever talking to you again. In today's society, the HR department will tell you that it's harassment anytime that someone says something to you that makes you feel uncomfortable. What do? Do you run and tell somebody else? Oh, they made me feel bad. Or do you stand up for yourself? Do you take that moment and find the courage to say, in a loving manner, this is what I believe. I don't believe what you just said to me you meant, or that what you just said to me is true. And this is what I believe. So the next one, it says, leaving an abusive relationship. I added to that and said, or helping someone leave an abusive relationship. Now, I don't see this as an everyday thing. I hope not. Oh, Lord, I hope not. I know it's out there. But if you have ever found yourself in that situation, do you have the courage to stand up and do the right thing? Doing something by yourself for the first time. I get anxiety. I'll tell you right now. If I'm tasked with something new, I've never done it before, I get anxious. I'm taking on a new department at work to manage. I don't have a clue what they do. I've started downloading service manuals. I'm reading this stuff. I drove all the way to Arkansas this week to do the maintenance on defibrillators. I didn't even know what it looked like. You guys are thinking, oh, I hope I don't get that one. I had anxiety about going and doing it. I had the tools I needed to go do it. I went there. I went in, I started looking at it. The first one, they're very simple. They're all self-contained. You really don't have to do anything. Push a button, it self-tests itself. So don't worry, I didn't do anything. The second one I walked into and they said, oh, you're here to work on our defibrillator. It's going through batteries all the time. Okay. It had a bad contact in it. I fixed it. I was very, very anxious about going to these accounts. I had the opportunity to go to a surgery center in Leawood, Kansas, and look at a gas monitor. Very, very nervous about this surgery center. I'm thinking, gas module, oh, I've got the book in my hand. Took me 2 hours, but I figured out that it wasn't the gas module that was the problem. It was the monitor that was connected to the gas module. Thank the Lord. I did. I left there that day, and I thanked the Lord. Whew, thank you. That was an awesome feeling. But we each face new things a lot. Making public presentations about something you believe in. Believe me, I was nervous to get up here. I'm nervous every time I get up here. I have a newfound confidence. I have figured out that when I'm preparing for something and I'm having troubles, well, I find that, at least I'm telling myself, the reason I'm being distracted, I'm having so many problems, is because the adversary doesn't want me to talk about that, right? He's interfering with my thoughts and different things. And he did that. I mean, he did that all week. He did that yesterday. I knelt and prayed yesterday to finalize this, and I asked the Lord, I said, give me this day that I won't have any distractions. I had about 2 hours of no distractions. And then between the dog and the phone and needing to do this, and I had to eat, you know. Today, I felt the adversary's fiery darts pelting me today. I prayed. Chris prayed for me. I asked for prayers. Sat here this morning, and I felt confidence coming over me to stand up here. I lost a lot of those nerves. So there's a couple more on here, and they're basically, you know, the same thing. Doing something that you're not used to doing. Volunteering for a program or something. These are all, I agree with all of these, courageous daily things that could happen in our daily lives. What I added this short list with the question above it, what about false courage? Now, hopefully, none of you are experiencing false courage. One of the things on my list that I have for false courage are mind-altering chemicals. We're talking about those things that the world is introducing to us and saying are okay. They want to legalize them. Alcohol is already legal. These are things that people use to escape reality. They give you a false feeling of courage. I'm sure our brothers who have worked in law enforcement have seen that very false courage at many times. What about greed, lust, false teachings, or anger? Have any of you ever experienced courage because of these things? A great example of that are the Lamanites in Alma 20. They were being told one thing, and they were going after the Nephites. Their courage came because they thought they were right. They were being led by men who were greedy. And the Lamanites, we know, were a people of greed and lust anyway, so it didn't take much to fire them up. But they were facing Moroni and the armies of the Nephites. They had spiritual courage. Now, this next list, I ask you to keep your minds open to picture yourself in their position. Okay? These are people that, a list of names that I put together, thinking about spiritual courage. Nephi, for standing up to his older brothers. Nephi, in a time when the eldest son was the, you know, he led the family. Nephi stood up against that because he believed in God. He believed in what God had taught him was the right thing. Alma, when he hid from King Noah and taught the truth. You know, he was in hiding, wasn't he? But once he had a taste of the truth, he had a desire to share that truth. And he did whatever he could to share that with others, to get them to change, to get them to turn away from the greed and the lust and the sins that they were living under. Under King Noah. Moroni, for standing up for religious freedom. You know, he was a great leader. He was a great warrior. But why was he a great leader and a great warrior? Because he desired to serve a God that had fulfilled his promises to him, that he knew was truthful that he believed in. He believed that the gifts and the blessings that he had were from God. He knew that if the Lamanites took charge, his ability to worship his God would be harder. Thanks to Gary, I have a newfound knowledge of Joshua and the tribes of Israel and the things they went through. I'm not an Old Testament guy. I've read it. It's one of those things that just hasn't clicked, I think. But I've enjoyed our Sunday school class. Joshua, leading the tribes of Israel into the Promised Land. Hey, can you picture yourself at this time in your life being in the shoes of any of these people I've named so far? Would you have the courage to do what they did? How about Rahab, the harlot that hid Joshua's spies? How about David when he faced Goliath? How about Daniel for speaking the truth, God's truth, even as a captive? How about Mary for bearing God's son? How about Joseph for standing by Mary? I know there's people out there right now in this audience that are thinking, well, that was God's plan. It was God's plan. God has a plan. God's plan will always happen, no matter who he uses, who he chooses. I'm asking you, though, to think about where you are in your life right now and ask yourself, if you were in their shoes, I can't put myself in Mary's shoes. But if I were in Joseph's shoes, and I wasn't married to Mary yet, and I lived in a time when people could be stoned to death, and I was visited and told that the woman that I was espoused to, going to be married to, was pregnant, pregnant with God's son. How many times do you justify in your life why you're not going to do something, why you're not going to stand up and do something? Isn't it easier to make that list than it is to make the list of why you should stand up? Here's one close to home, guys. If you were here for sacrament this month, our young sister, Jolie, she stood up. She publicly confessed a sin that was on her heart. She publicly asked forgiveness for that sin. That took courage. You know what came of that courage? Jolie standing was not only courageous, but it prompted me to do something I fear. Giving a testimony. I sit in these pews every month during sacrament, and I think of things that I should testify of. And then my mind starts telling me, well, you know, I don't want to waste anybody's time. I'm just going to sound dumb. It really isn't that important. You know, my mind takes me back to a grand act of courage in relationship to my testimony. It's not something that is just mind-boggling to everyone. But that's not what God wants. She prompted me through her courageous act of standing and testifying, confessing, she prompted me to get up. And believe me, I needed to get up. The spirit that was here was amazing. I sat here and I saw that spirit. That spirit spoke to me before the service, during the service, throughout the entire service. That spirit was there. And I sat on the edge of my seat the whole time. And I would start to get up and then I would sit down. And then I would start to get up and I would sit down. And I was sitting next to Dawn. And I could see Dawn out of the corner of my eye, and I'm thinking the whole time, well, I won't have to if he stands up. If he ends the service, I won't have to. And then Jolie stood up. Lord, why? It was a glorious healing spirit that day. Where does courage start? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them, that those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in the minds will I write them. The courage starts within us. It's been put in us. It's been given to us that we already have it. The good Lord said he would put it in our hearts. What did he put in our hearts? That Holy Spirit, that Holy Ghost. Verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So I have a note here that I wrote that the demonstration of or your first real act of courage. What do you think that is? Your first real act of spiritual courage comes when? You accept Jesus Christ and you enter into this covenant through baptism. I lived life in the world for a long time. Between birth and 30, I spent over half of my life living under false courage, being greedy, being lustful, believing that's what drove people to be powerful. It wasn't until that evening service when the Holy Spirit rushed through me. And I mean literally rushed through me like a wind. And Frank Fan stood up and turned around, and there was a calling during that service that I realized what I had to do. And I acted on it. I asked for baptism that night. I asked to be with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 20, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He promised when he gives us the Holy Ghost, he promises to be with us. What more do you need to have courage? than the knowledge that Jesus Christ is with you? What more do you need than to have the gift of the Comforter, the gift of the knowledge of God? That Spirit that talks to you, if you'll listen. Boldness, courage, steadfastness. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Right? Though we walk in the flesh, our thoughts should be spiritual. Our hopes should be spiritual. Our ideas should be Christ-like. You have to be courageous and see each and every person as Christ did. He treated no one differently. From the poorest of poor to the richest of rich, he went to them all. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So again, thanks to Gary, in Sunday school last week, he brought up word pictures. And I chuckled yesterday when I was writing my notes, because when I read that, for the weapons of warfare are not carnal, I pictured ninjas with knives and word pictures. But our weapons aren't a knife. Our brother Randy testified last weekend that he had courage. I loved that. When I was putting this together, I remembered that. Randy stood up here and said that he was put in a situation when he was a young man, and he got his courage because he had a pocket knife. A carnal weapon, right? And when he got home, he got in trouble because he wasn't supposed to use the carnal weapon. He was supposed to use his spiritual weapons. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, again, word pictures. When I read that and thought of strongholds, I pictured an old cargo ship and these big ropes that they used that would be strapped down, you know? These strongholds, ropes that are as big as tree trunks, holding ships to the shore, you know? These are things that you couldn't imagine just breaking like a twig, right? Strongholds. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. When you have God, when you have the Holy Ghost, your courage is infinitely strong. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do you have the courage to cast down your imaginations, your thoughts? Putting it simply, do you have the courage to put aside your wants and stand up for someone else's needs? That's what I picture with imaginations. Casting down imaginations. You know, those things that I think of that are not necessary. Do I put them away? Am I thinking in a way that doesn't promote myself, but edifies God and holds up my fellow man? And the statement, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Wow. Is there any one of you that I could ask today that could tell me with 100% surety that your every waking moment and thought is to the obedience of Christ? We get distracted. We're human. No, I don't believe there's... We want to think that. We want to believe that we do our due diligence to believe 100% of the time to be obedient to Christ, to do that which is right, to be loving to our neighbor, to love our God with all our heart, might, and strength. It's only through our own humanness that we put him aside. Three questions. You answer for yourself. I'll see about sharing my answer. Should we be courageous in the world and not spiritually courageous? Duh. Standing in a church full of people who believe in God and Jesus Christ. No, we should not just be courageous in the world and not look to be spiritually courageous. Should we be spiritually courageous and not courageous in the world? I dare say that would be better. Or if we're spiritually courageous, won't that make us courageous when facing this world? Sean says yes. Absolutely. How do we get to that spiritual courage? Statement from the internet, no author found. It's titled The Courage to Let Go. As human beings, we like to feel in control. Yeah, absolutely. We get up in the mornings and we think, what am I going to do today? However, peace of mind only comes through giving your best to the life whilst simultaneously detaching yourself from the outcome of your efforts, knowing that everything in life has a purpose. I took from that that it says, give it your best and accept whatever the outcome. I got trouble with that. Do your best and accept the outcome. Well, on one hand, I can see, yeah, we go at life to do everything we can the best way we can, the best way we've been taught, and if the outcome isn't right, we have to accept that there was a mistake made. It may have been a failure. I see that. But do we accept that failure as the end result? No. No, absolutely not. No. We go back at it, don't we? We go back at it. We look at it now and we say, okay, I did it this way and I failed. How about if I do it this way? I accept that I made a mistake, but I don't accept the outcome. That wasn't right in God's eyes. That wasn't right in my eyes. So we go back and we do it again. The statement goes on, put your faith in the wisdom that created you. Know that who you are is not defined by the outcome of your efforts, and trust that you have within you all you need at any moment to take on the challenges life presents to you. Kind of on the fence. I kind of agree, but I think it's missing something. It starts out good. Put your faith in the wisdom that created you. It's missing God. It's missing Jesus. It's missing faith. Next part of the statement, giving up resisting what you cannot control and going with rather than against the flow of life makes available to living in the present moment. Let me read that again. It's kind of broken up funny. Giving up resisting what you cannot control and going with rather than against the flow of life makes available to living in the present moment. Finding the courage to let go will not impede your ability to achieve what you seek most from life. It will enhance it. See, the world likes to make statements that kind of you could kind of agree with, you could kind of go with, but there again, I see a flaw in that, in the last of that statement. It's saying go with the flow, and it's all right, just go with it. It's all right. Do we believe that we should just go with the flow? Or aren't we taught? Because the flow is obviously not parallel to the teachings of Christ. To go with the flow in the world. Inclusion week. Inclusion month at work. Inclusion training. I have to go through training that's telling me to go with the flow. It is difficult. It is so difficult. On one hand, I have to, if I want to keep my job, believe me, I look for a job every day. If I want to continue to receive a paycheck and make a living wage, I do what I'm told and believe what I know is right. I struggle with that every day. But going with the flow is not God's way. I don't believe that it's God's way to go with the flow. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's going with the flow. We are told simply not to be that way, not to get blown this way, not to get pushed this way, not to be drawn this way, because that's the easy path. Our view, Mosiah 1:20, but if ye yieldeth to the enticing of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. Psalms 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. I say on the Lord. I say on the Lord. Steadfast and bold. Psalms 31:24, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. So, for some reason, I was thinking on my way to my favorite breakfast place this morning. I will not advertise. If you know me, you know where I went. The thought of Christ telling us how much more important we are than the grass of the fields. Matthew 6:27-34. I read it when I got here. I'm just going to tell you that the thought came to me that it's the Lord telling us To be confident in your faith and the courage you need will be provided. You know, it was simple. It was just that simple thought. Here I am. I spent all day yesterday putting this together, and this morning I could have just said that and walked away, right? No. In many ways, courage, my discernment while I was doing this, in many ways, courage is like faith. It can't be seen. You can't see the courage I have in my heart, in my body. I can't see your courage. Like faith, the act is seen and recognized. So the courageous act, or the act of faith that you commit, is what people see. It's not the courage that's in you. They only see that once it comes out, once you act upon it. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Courage is not seen, but I believe. Wow. I need to go back to school. Courage is not seen. But I believe if you have hope that in the time it's needed, you'll have it. What do you have hope in? What is your hope based in? Is it based in the promises of the world? In the go here and there attitude? Or is it in the proven truth and knowledge that you have about Jesus Christ and his Father who has a plan? In my view, in my life, I wouldn't have courage if it weren't for my faith. And I do not stand here and tell you that I have some extravagant, you know, this huge amount of faith. My faith is a work in progress, just like yours. If you ask me, I'm not as faithful as I should be. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. My thoughts when I stand before you behind this pulpit are always one thing: that I please my Father, my Heavenly Father, that for whatever reason I stood here today, I heard what he asked me to present to you, and there might be one thing in what I presented to you that you can use in your daily life. Thank you. God bless you. I love you all. Thank you for putting up with me.